today's Gospels, or lessons, show us God's view versus human view. If we start with St. Paul's first verse in Corinthians, it says, "From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. Why? Because if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation." This verse means that once we've met up with Christ, like St. Paul, if you remember, is his experience on the road to Damascus, there's always growth. When we meet and accept Christ, it includes growth. It includes a change of our attitudes. It includes a change in the way we are being, thinking, speaking, and acting, and living. It's kind of like B.C. Before Christ, we might think one way, but after Christ, we are to be like him and to think more in God's way, a divine way. Now, the gospel teaches us even more about this. Again, the man represents God, and the two sons represent the human race. All of us. And this is before we've met Christ. Now, I'm sure we all need some growth, even though we've met Christ, but we are to change once he's our Savior. The youngest son decided to tell the father, "I want all the property that's going to belong to me." So the father divided the property, gave the younger son his share, and the older son his share. And a few days later, the younger son went off, and he took his gift, the gift that the father gave him. He took it, and he left, but he squandered it. He lost everything. And then he found himself in a strange land, no money and no job. Kind of like us, when we're with Christ and in God's heavenly kingdom, even right here and now, even when we're sinning, we are no longer in God's country because we're sinning. We're in that distant country. Well, anyway, there was a famine, and he decided to get hired. He took any kind of position. For a Jew, the absolute worst job to have in the world would be to be feeding pigs. Pigs are not kosher. They would have nothing to do with them. So there he is, in a strange country, feeding pigs, and he would even debase himself in his mind to eat what the pigs were eating. But nobody in that strange country cared or even offered him something to eat. After all of this, he finally came to himself. He realized what he had done and who really cared about him, his father. So he decided, well, you know, I am really no longer worthy to be my father's son. So he realized that. And he realized that he had sinned. But he decided he would go back to his father. He would go back to where he knew he was cared for and truly loved, the one place that he was truly loved in a pure way. So he went back and he said to himself, "I will get up and go to my father, and I will tell him I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you and am no longer worthy to be your son." But he was willing to be a slave. So he starts off. Well, while he is still far off, the father sees him. Now, what is interesting about this is that the father does see him. And what is he filled with? He's filled with compassion and love, hugs and kisses. There's no guilt that he's trying to lay on his son. He's not rejecting his son. He doesn't even know that the son is remorseful and going to confess his sin. But he doesn't reject him. He's not angry. He's not yelling. He's there with open arms, no matter what. And that's our Lord. That's God. So the son gets up to him. And after the kissing and the hugging and being received back and not being rejected and finding out, wow, I never really loved this way, the father said, well, no, the son does confess his sin. And the father says to the slaves, quickly, get a robe, the best one. And let's put a ring on his finger. So he wants him to feel special, connected, and back into the family. And let's put sandals on his feet so he's comfortable. So the father's taking care of him physically and emotionally. And then spiritually, he kills the fatted calf. That could be communion. So the father is taking care of his inward need. So he kills the fatted calf and he's having a party because he's celebrating the fact that the son came back. The son confessed. He was lost, but now he's found. The father forgives him. So next we have the older brother. Now at first you might think he's an okay guy and a great son, and in a way he is. But he's no better than the younger son because the older son is in the field. He's been working hard all day. He's been working and working and working. And he gets closer to the house after his hard day. And he's like, what the heck? What is this music? What is this dancing? What's going on? And so he asks the slaves, what is happening? And he says, your brother has come home and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's back safe and sound. So what happens? A human response. The older son gets angry. He's jealous. He's resentful. And he refuses to go into his father's house to celebrate. So again, the father, who is not going to reject anyone, the older either, goes out. And he pleads with him, come in, come in. Be with me, be with us. And then the son tells him the complaint. I have been here all these years and have worked for you, and I've never disobeyed any of your commands. And yet you never gave me a goat. In other words, you didn't give me a party because I've been so good. Well, he continues and he says, but when this son of yours comes back, you give him a party. In other words, he's distancing himself from his brother. It's your son. It's your fault. You know, you did something wrong. So the father looks at him and he says, son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate. Here's where the father tries to reconcile and bring him back into full, he said, and also the responsibility of forgiveness and the responsibility of true love. And he says, because this brother of yours was dead and now he's come to life. He was lost and now he is found. As long as things were going the elder son's way, everything was fine. But as soon as it wasn't, as soon as he felt that, well, this isn't right, he decided to trust in himself rather than his father. And he was no longer obedient. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't go in with his father to celebrate. God's love will not be controlled or limited by us. God's love will not be limited or controlled because ours is. Ours is not perfect like the Lord's. And thank God for that. Because God's love is eternal. and it is unconditional. And in these lessons, Jesus is reaching out and asks us to learn how to love as he loves us, to grow up into a true and pure and perfect, unconditional, godly way of loving. And the Father says, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. When that is suddenly not enough for us, that's our sin. We're not deserving of God's love, but he offers it as a gift to each and every one of us, no matter what. Our faith and our trust is to be in God more than in ourselves, and we are to obey him, listen to him, and love him each and every day.